Okay, Tim, good to go when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast, sponsored by Cooker, spelt Quooker, pronounced Cooker, 100-degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. This is a mailbag special, part II. During this podcast, I'll be giving advice, so please let me remind you that I have not been trained at medicine. I've not been trained at psychology, finance. I've not been trained at anything. So if you are taking advice off me, you are taking advice off a TV presenter, which, as we all know, is a
terrible, horrible,
horrible idea.
Terrible.
That's Mark you can hear in the background there.
He's Hi, here Tim.
To keep me in check.
Hi, everyone.
Part two, Mark. We've never done a mailbag in two parts. The reason why we're doing it in two parts is the first part, we interviewed Fraser Doherty from Beer 52 and Super Jam. We just got him in to have a little chat, and it took up a lot of time because he was an interesting fella.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd move it into two parts. So I can't remember where we were, where we left it.
But I actually know exactly. But I don't think it's a great place to start off.
Talking about Netflix.
We were talking about Netflix and about, I was telling you about El Camino, the Breaking Bad film that's coming out.
Oh, and why can't we start there?
Well, can do. Any other
you said
thing?
That. No, you said this. That was it. It was a cliffhanger.
Almost.
There was two things. You said there's two things that you need to watch on Netflix. That one and
the new Martin Scorsese film is coming out on Netflix. It's a Netflix film, and it's called The Irishman. And it's wait for this: Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci.
And it's about what's the
Irishman? It's not he's a gangster. It's like it's classic De Niro and Scorsese.
Brilliant.
It's like the new Goodfellas basically. It's
that'd be great.
But it's the budget was about 200 million, and because they've done a thing where they've aged them digitally, so it's when they're older and when they're younger, and so they're in it as when they're old and when they're young, and it's gonna be by all accounts pretty amazing. So that's coming up soon as well.
Where do Netflix get all their money from? Oh, that's right. They've just put their monthly subscription up. That's
have they?
Where they get it from. Yeah.
Oh,
have you
right.
not had the thing through?
No.
Oh, you tune in. You tune in and it says to you, click whether you want to subscribe and upgrade. And then, well, not upgrade. Then,
yeah, but yeah.
But if you want to...
Oh, that's coming in the post then.
Not the post.
No, that's a phrase.
Happens digitally. Should we get on with them with this then? It's the mailbag part two. So I'm going to read the next one. This comes from Kerry, who says, "Hi Tim and Mark, I've recently discovered the podcast after hearing Tim on a podcast with Katie Piper and realizing he had his own podcast."
You do podcasts with other people?
I have been. I've been on that, and I've been on Private Parts, and I've been on UK Leaps podcast.
You cow.
I quite like doing other people's podcasts.
What? Better than this one?
It's quite, no, but I do like being, I don't mind being interviewed. I think it's all right. I like podcasting because it's a conversation.
Yeah.
And I just like talking, you know I do. So, you know, so if anyone says come on the podcast for a talk, I'll do it. I'm however very behind the episodes, says Kerry. This week I've just listened to the two episodes from 2017 about Mr. Y's affair and the view of Mrs. M who found out about her husband's affair. I'm hooked. I work on a nature reserve and walk for my lunch hour to listen to the podcast, although now I'm going to have to make sure I listen to each new episode before I catch up on the old ones, as if you read my email out, I won't hear it for months. Thank you for making me laugh out loud and making sure I keep my Fitbit steps with my daily walks. Thank you, Kerry, for listening. The Having an Affair trilogy was absolutely brilliant. Let's remind people, if you don't know what happened, we was having a chat and Mark said, we're talking about having an affair, and Mark said it seems like a lot of admin to have an affair, which made me laugh. And then a man wrote in to say he had an affair.
And it is a lot of admin.
And it is a lot of admin. And he ended up in a... I won't spoil it for you, but you can go back and listen to it. But he didn't end up in a great way.
You summarise it, absolutely shat up his life, didn't it?
Oh, he ended up in a
caravan
in France or
with a crap telly without Netflix. Can you imagine anything worse?
Then a woman wrote in who had been the person someone had an affair with, and her life ended up really miserable. And then someone ended up being, someone had been the woman whose husband had had an affair.
Yeah.
And then someone wrote in the woman in the middle who had an affair, who had been the person who had an affair. Oh, you know what I'm trying to say. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm getting very confused.
Tuned out.
It was the trilogy. And what we realised from it is having an affair is just a really, really rubbish idea.
Yeah.
It's just not good at all. I do think this. I really do. If you're thinking about having an affair, if you want to have sex with someone else, leave the person you're with at the moment leave them first, and then go and have sex with somebody else. That is the way to do it, because then there's no guilt, there's lots of emotions running around and hurt and stuff, but at least you're doing the honest good thing. Just don't go out with someone and then have sex with somebody else, because it's just not a good idea. It's not very nice. Angela, you know, there's gonna be some.
Was that the end of the email?
Yeah, just said, help me on daily walks. There's, you know, there's going to be someone listening to this who's going, oh, Christ, I'm doing exactly that. I'm having an affair.
No, our listeners don't do that.
And it's just, oh, our listeners are all morally correct.
Yeah.
Good.
There's a vetting process when you click on the podcast.
Perfect. Angela says, talk about Mr. Eccles. He was our plastic surgeon. What a fascinating and informative podcast. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to think twice before I buy the latest anti-aging lotions and potions. Loving all the podcasts. That generally was, I loved that podcast. I like learning, and I quite like the fact that he believes you can just get away with pretty much basic brands of
aqueous cream, yeah, the E45 sort of aqueous cream.
Yeah, and also your sunscreen. You can just use Boots Own. You'll be fine. That's what he said. Just make sure you put it on really early on in the process. Well, he said when you first got up, didn't he, when you were on holiday? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, or guessing after the shower or bath.
Yeah, just put it on. But if you're on holiday, you don't bath or shower, because you're going to go swimming in your trunks, maybe. Dear Lovejoy, brackets, and Mark, please don't use my real name. Thanks. I'm Mrs. Complete Package, looking for somebody.
Did you not
else's
just use
package.
It at the top?
No.
Can you show me?
What?
Just show me the thing.
I didn't just use it at the top. I don't know what her name is.
You did. I'll have to bleep that.
I didn't.
You did, because I guessed which one it was.
Mark, you've gone mental. I have not used the name.
I promise you did. You started
reading.
But I
don't even know what her name is.
No, she's at the top. You read it.
I didn't. All right. You were thinking about the other one.
Okay.
It's not connected with plastic surgery.
Okay.
This will be interesting listening for the podcast listeners. Us having a little row about her name or not. Dear Lovejoy and Mark, please don't use my real name. Thanks. I'm Miss Complete Package, looking for somebody else's package. My sob story featured in your recent Mailbag episode, and I thought you may appreciate an update. Okay.
Oh, she was the one who you thought was hitting on you.
is that what you got from
your hubris
episode? Oh dear. Well, at the end she did say she did hit on me, but but no, she was basically struggling. She was in love with a guy who'd left her, and look, you're gonna have to listen back to it, but she was worried about she was going to be left on the shelf and all those sort of things. It was quite a sob story. And we discussed what she should really be looking for. Anyway, she goes on to explain that I listened to this episode whilst jogging around my local park. Thanks for the PB, by the way. I'll chalk that up to being too absorbed in your chatter to realise how long I'd been running for. I laughed. I cringed. I honestly didn't recognise the girl who'd written that letter. In the last fortnight, my life has changed again. Ooh, update, Mark, update. After breaking up with me 2 months ago, Mr. No More Kids came back. Ooh. He said he'd realised the impact I'd had on his life and how much he'd truly miss me. He wanted to try again. Oh, and marriage and kids are back on the table. She wanted kids, didn't she? That was her thing. I had a feeling this would happen. Even when we weren't together, we were still in touch every day, sharing the important parts of our lives together. We had the best relationship before, which is why the breakup was so tough. I knew I'd never find anyone like him again. Turns out I didn't need to. I am so, so happy, and he tells me he is too. He makes me a better person, and I love being on our team. Oh, I like that bit, our team. It was hard to hear how low and sad I was, and apologies for making you read about it too. We enjoyed reading it. It was content. That's what we need.
We need you lot to do the work for us.
Yeah, we need your misery. That's what we're peddling on.
We thrive on it.
I it's the same as every other media outlet. We peddle. Don't send us your happy stories. Stop telling us you enjoy it.
Stop reading this one.
Tell us how miserable you are so we can help you. I do agree with what you said about being happy in yourself. In 2017, I realized that if I was going to be a single lady for life, then I needed to make it one great life and really enjoy my own company. So I threw myself into yoga and the gym, went to cookery classes, got stuck into my artsy hobbies, and went on amazing far-flung holidays on my own, basically doing all the things I've previously been too scared to do on my own and picking up new friends along the way. I just underestimated how devastating a breakup can be. Yeah, breakups are hard. When you break up, you're basically going through with someone, you're basically going through the same experience as going through somebody dying. There's a grieving process because a relationship's changed. Things start. It's the same when you leave a job that you love as well, or retirement. That can be another one where something's changed so dramatically. Something will never be the same again. And something never being the same again is quite a hard thing to get your head around. Anyway, I just underestimated how devastating a breakup can be. Fingers crossed that was the last one. Thank you both. P.S. Tim, that wasn't a marriage proposal. And while Mr. No More Kids is my one and only, I'm sure he'd give me a Bible, as in a B-Y-E-B-A-L-L, to take you for a pint if you're ever in my part of the UK. So there you go. A Bible. What's that? It's like, they used to call them on your favourite TV show, which has shaped your life, Friends. They used to call
it a slight exaggeration.
They used to call it a laminate for some reason. Why was it called a laminate?
Because you put five crushes
on a laminate.
Yeah,
you get it on a piece of paper and then you laminate it.
Well, no, that wasn't the idea. But one of the characters laminated it.
Oh,
and then
popular culture took it as a laminate, or Friends did.
Friends did, and then I think on Ross's, he just got rid of Juliette Binoche and then laminated it, and then went up. And then she turned up at the coffee shop, and he said, "I'm allowed to sleep with you. Look." And then he'd forgotten, and she went, "But I'm not on there." And he's laminated it, so he couldn't change it.
What an hysterical scenario!
Okay, you explain very briefly the plot line of something. You're such a dick.
Did he go, "Oh no, I'm whining, I'm Ross, I'm whining. And Joey was going, "Oh no, I can't really think about anything. I'm a bit too thick. You're saying something, but I'm thinking something else." Is that what happened? Right. is that like me insulting your cat?
You wouldn't dare.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go that far. Relationships, by the way, miss, I haven't used your name. Mark can check back.
I will.
Relationships should be independent but not selfish. That's what someone said the other day to me, and I thoroughly agree with that. I think that's a really intelligent thing to say. You can't be too claustrophobic in a relationship. You should have an independent life but not selfish. You should care about each other. And real love, always remember, real love is actions, not words. Anyone can say, "I love you," but your actions can prove otherwise. What shall I say here? Oh, hi, Tim. This is from Andy. Just wanted to message you and say how much I love the Dear Lovejoy podcast. The diverse range and breadth of people you have on there is incredible. My particular favourites were the special with Mark Billingham and the one with Colin Salmon was sensational and inspiring. Any news of when the Dear Lovejoy book is coming out? Anyway, keep up the fantastic work and the fascinating guests coming. Okay, so the Dear Lovejoy book, it was going to be a crowd-funded book. However, I can't...
Be bothered?
Yeah. That I really want to write
it. The thing is, I suddenly realised just how much work went into a book.
Oh my God, there's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I realised...
That's why every time we have someone on here, it's an amazing... When they're promoting their book, it's an amazing achievement just to have finished it, got it published and...
It's a real ambition of mine. Also, the title's changed a couple of times. I'm trying to work out what to do with it. And I will do it. I've had an idea of a new way of doing it to make it easy. But I don't know.
Do it in an audio podcast form, free every week.
Well, funny you should say that.
like what we're doing.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's strange you say that because I can't remember why I ended up in a chat with Zuby, one of our old guests, and I... And, And I said, oh yeah, he said he's releasing an album. I said, why don't you just release a track every month? Because that's what seems to be the en vogue thing. He goes, what, write a book and release a chapter a month? Like writing a book and releasing a chapter a month. And then I thought about it, I went, hold on, you know, that's not such a bad idea. Because a lot of people say they're not that brilliant at reading or they don't can't get engaged too much, but everyone can read one chapter a month. I could do a book with 24 chapters and, you know, 2 years you'd be reading my book. It's not a bad way of doing it. And I think I could probably manage to write one chapter a month as well.
I'm, as you know, currently working on a podcast, which is a book in audio form released a couple of chapters a week.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good book you're working on there, aren't you? We will talk about it as soon as it's ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the podcast. Yeah, definitely. Watch this space. Emma, I wanted to say, send you this and thank you. I've made huge changes this year after listening to your podcast avidly. It had a massive impact on me at an important time. Do you know what, Emma? It's had a really important impact on me as well. How long have we been doing this now? 2.5 years?
We started sort of January 17, didn't we? So it's going to be close to 3 years, actually.
Sounds really corny and like I'm in a boy band and I want to thank my fans and all that sort of stuff. But
you better stand up for the key change.
Yeah, I will do. But we are learning together because I've learned so much during this podcast. I've got so many great books I've read and so many pearls of wisdom. Because of the podcast, I've completely analysed everything in my life and everything in the world. And so I just think it's great to hear the feedback here. But I think we're doing this together. So, you know, I want you all to know that I'm learning massively. And every time I read out one of your problems or I interview someone on the specials, I'm literally learning as we're going along as well. So, you know what? It's made me a better person too.
You are genuinely a happier person since we started.
Definitely. Definitely. And the biggest lesson of all is the one of acceptance, which I'll mention a little bit later on.
Oh, let me guess who that's involved.
Well, we'll find out. Hey, Tim, I just wanted to message to say that I'm bloody loving the podcast. It's my birthday next week and I've got 3 books on my Amazon wish list. Totally agree with you on the meditation thing. My head chatter doesn't stop, so I find it super hard. And like you, I'm also shamefully social media generally crap and nonsense junkie. I'm not a poster, just a browser. Yeah, I browse more than I post. Hence the very late message.
You're a lurker.
Yeah, because I just think, like the other day I did, let me finish this, and what the fuck is Noah the Time Traveller about? I could have done without getting hooked onto that too. Sending love, keep up the good work, Leanne. Noah the Time Traveller, by the way, is something I became obsessed with on one of the podcasts and stuff. I'm not followed him for a while, but he's basically a time traveller. Look him up. No, don't, because you'll get hooked.
No, don't.
He's Noah the Time Traveller. What I worry about is with my posting is the virtue signaling bit, because I do watch a lot of Twitter and I do watch a lot of celebrities sort of just tell you how brilliant they are the whole time, and it was really funny because the other day I went to give blood as I do, and I've started to do recently, and I thought it's funny because they love it, the medical staff in there, they say, oh, thanks for the posts and stuff, and I talked about them on TV the other day and they said, thanks for that, it's really good, it helps. And so I thought, oh god, you know, me with a needle in my arm going, yeah, I'm giving blood, oh look at Tim, he's so wonderful, and I'm not doing it for that, I'm doing it because I want to give the blood. I you know what, I get something out of it as well, let's be honest.
Yeah,
I get a biscuit and I feel bloody brilliant.
Would you
and
get custard cream, malted milk?
I go for mini cheddars. They have packs of mini cheddars. Yeah. But what they do is they not only do you feel great because you're doing it, you feel great afterwards because they send you a text message saying where your blood's being used. The last time my blood was used in Manchester. And it's like, so you go, wow, my blood is actually being used for something. So you get something out of it. Other people get something out. Do it. Last time I got, I've now stupidly ended up because I'm an idiot trying to beat my time for getting my blood out. So I got down to 6 minutes.
What do you mean time for getting your blood out? Do you just like squeeze?
Yeah.
Like you're squeezing out?
Yeah.
Do you?
So you squeeze your hand.
Oh,
so
no, not your whole, you don't go.
No, so the first whole body. Yeah, well, you kind of do that. So someone's given me some tips online how to do it, so get the blood out even quicker. But they said they don't like it to come out too quickly. But so the first time I did it, it was 11 minutes, and now I've got it down to 6 minutes and 5 seconds. I basically get the blood and go and pump my hand and pump everything to try and get the blood out.
You are so competitive. It's ridiculous.
I am such a knob. Yeah, I know I am. But it just made it fun for me. So anyway, 6 minutes and 5 seconds of my life. That is all. And you give someone blood. It's a fantastic thing to do. But then I put the picture on, and then blood donor NHS, whatever they're called, came back to me, and they DM'd me saying, thanks so much for doing it again, Tim. Every time you go on, we see a spike in interest on our website. So it does do something, but then you feel like an ass because it's like, oh, look at Tim trying to tell us how brilliant he is because he's giving blood. So it's really sort of one of those things that you know, it's a maze. What do you think? Should I be doing it or should I not?
Doing that.
What?
That action you were doing.
You didn't like the action. No. Anyway, I did it. I did it. Right, Oliver says, hey, Tim, been a fan of the work for a while and I've started listening to your podcast. They're very good. A query on your cold shower idea. It's not my idea, but I'll claim it anyway. Do you wash and then have a cold shower aspect, or is the whole shower experience cold? Also, is there a podcast where you can speak about free will and higher consciousness? I'd love to do that. If we could find someone to do that. It hurt my brain, but I'd like to do it. I heard you mention it in passing recently. Keep up the good work, Oliver. Right, okay, cold shower. One of the things I think about life is, if you decide to become into Pilates, into yoga, into plant-based diet, vegan, you know, keto, whatever, you know, you've got two choices for everything. You can either go, right, I'm staying absolutely rigid to it, and it becomes a focus in life, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't see that in my life. That's never been the way I want to live my life, so I'm kind of pretty liberal as to what I do. So yes, I will go in and have a completely cold shower. I will also sometimes have a hot shower and then spend the last couple of minutes having the cold shower as well. So I do generally cold shower most days. I can't really remember a time where I didn't. It makes me feel invigorated. The thing about the cold shower for me is it's not the length of time, it's how quickly I can get my body under control to feel comfortable. So it's about a standing there and getting the breathing going and being calm and letting my body go, okay, I'm adapting to the temperature. Recently I noticed we're coming to the end of the summer when we're doing this. I was on the train the other day, the tube the other day, and everybody was, not everybody, but a load of people in jumpers and coats. And I couldn't help thinking, have people lost the ability to regulate their body temperature because it wasn't that cold? Or is it just we feel comfortable making sure we've got another garment layer? And I think we're, it's summer. You're really not going to die in summer hanging out in London on the tube, you know. But it was interesting to see it. And I wasn't criticizing everyone. I was just thinking it's really interesting. I think that regulating your body temperature, watch a dog, it goes out in all weathers. And so do cats. I know they were wearing their coats, and we don't really have one of those anymore.
They can only sweat through their paws, can't they?
Can they?
Dogs and cats, and dogs also think sweat. Didn't they sweat through their tongue? That's why they go...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Is that a good impression?
That's a great impression. But I do think we've got to be... I mean, someone said this to me, or I've read it online or something about... What was it? Wim Hof said it to us, about regulating the body temperature. Our bodies are able to regulate ourselves. We've got to stop them from becoming complacent and having to be in air conditioning all the time. And when I was on holiday, I went on holiday to Spain, and it was hot there in the villa, and I didn't have any air conditioning in there. The first night, I was like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
By night five, it's just fine. Your body just gets used to it. And there was no air conditioning in the whole place. It's really weird because, you know, I've become such a, you know, I did phone up the people and say, do you not know I'm on TV? And I've worked really hard to get air conditioning. But it was quite interesting in the end. When you sleep in those really hot temperatures, it's just a really different experience. But, you know, there you go. But yeah, do what you want. But just, I think the key to it is getting the cold basically under control and getting your breathing. Okay, hello Tim, just stumble across your podcast and delve straight into War on Drugs episode. One word, wow. I was hoping to have an early night, but I've ended up listening to the whole episode. Fantastic and thought-provoking. I sincerely hope this mess of a government will listen to this podcast and change policy. Have you read Good Cop, Bad War yet? keep up the good work, mate, Rich. Yeah, I have read all the books. I'm absolutely sold.
All the books ever?
All the books in the world ever I've read. No, I've read all the books on this with Neil Woods. If you haven't listened to this podcast with Neil Woods or Johan Hari, I'd listen to them all about drugs and how we need, we basically need...
deregulation.
Yeah.
Deregulation. Deregulation.
Legalization of drugs. You know, we need drug reform, basically. It's too long to go into now, but it's really important. It's funny, he talks about a mess of a government. By the time this goes out, we all have no idea who's in power, what's going on, because we're in the middle of all the Brexit stuff, which is happening, and we don't know who's going to be in control in the long term. But we really do need to spend time getting in contact with our MPs and saying, look, we could be changing our country if we do some sort of drug reform. Well worth listening to that on a serious note. Okay, just listen to your podcast with Jamie and Francis. Am I allowed to do this one? Because it's not our podcast.
No, I'll just leave the room for a bit.
Just want to say thank you. I currently suffer from anxiety due to being bullied at work and then dismissed. I can't get over it. You've given me another perspective on how to deal with this. It may not cure me, but can help me get there. I'm going to listen to it again. Cheers. Tim, that's from Lorna. Okay, should we
is that
our...
over now?
No, we've got one.
No,
more.
I mean the other podcast, rubbish.
What? Oh yeah, Private Parts. I enjoyed doing that.
No, it sounded good. I listened to it, actually. It was really good fun.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, of course I did.
I quite like Jamie and Francis. I didn't think they expected me to get as kind of deep as I was going. And they've said they'll do this podcast, which I really want them to do, actually, because they liked getting deep about subjects. But I think they're used to people going on there and discussing blowjobs and stuff, you know, and then I'm on there and they're asking me questions like, what's the meaning of life? And I'm giving them proper answers and discussing mental health and whatever else I was coming up with. And I think it was, I think they loved it. I think it was intriguing. They got quite a lot of feedback, and so did I, from doing it. It's quite nice to do something like that. And I'm glad it hopefully dragged a few people over to this podcast as well. So should we do our sponsors quickly now?
Good idea, Tim.
Okay, so this podcast is sponsored by Cooker. It's spelled Quooker, but pronounced Cooker. I love these guys. Hot water tap. It's 100 degree hot water straight from your kitchen tap. It does your hot water. It does your cold water. It does your... I was trying to get into a jingle there, but it didn't work. It does your filtered cold water. And it does your filtered sparkling water as well, which is absolutely delicious. Mark keeps using it, and it's costing me a fortune in bubbles. Actually, do we still have the theme tune to this? Do you still have it knocking about? Because you wrote that brilliant jingle for Cooker.
I wrote a jingle. I wouldn't say it's brilliant.
Oh, no, it's brilliant. Oh, let's play that. Right, let's play that here now. Okay.
Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q U. Turn on the cooker and instantly make a brew. Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q U. Turn on the cooker. Hot water for vegetables too.
There you go. So we love it because it's got the sparkling water in it now as well, which is absolutely fantastic. And obviously the hot water. We're also sponsored by Beer 52, who are a craft
beer and ale subscription service. Tim,
tell us all about it, Mark.
Tim, do you fancy some free beer?
Yep.
Okay. Well, if you go to beer52.com/lovejoy, you can claim your free case of beer and ale. You get 8 free beers, a magazine and a snack. You pay £5.95 for the postage and packaging, but you get the beer free. And then you can cancel the subscription at any time. And what you get for that is 8 free beers, the magazine and the snack. And these beers are selected from all around the world, and they work with independent brewers to come up with brand new beers just for Beer 52. And we really enjoy it every month it comes through, and we taste one.
Fraser was on the last one.
Yeah, you're not going to like that one.
He said this is a sour one, doesn't he?
Yeah, you're not going to like that one.
Well, I like trying the ones I don't like as well as the ones I like. So this one is the Vault City Brewing, dry hopped farmhouse ale. It's only 4% ABV, but I think he said it was sour, didn't he?
Yeah, you're not going to like that one.
So I'm not going to like this one, but let's try it anyway. Hold on, I'm just going to pour it. It's very light in colour.
It does look nice. Yeah. So it's this Vault City Brewing dry hopped farmhouse ale, 4%.
Okay, I don't mind that. Oh no, the sour's kicking in. Oh, that's grapefruity.
It smells absolutely incredible.
I'm not sure. See, the thing is, I like the initial taste. It's the bit afterwards.
Oh, I'm all over that. That's lovely.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nah.
Hot summer day, pub garden.
You like that?
Hot pub garden.
But do you like the bit afterwards, which leaves on your tongue?
That isn't a sour beer. It's not that sour.
Well, it is. That's a terrible impression of me. Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really nice.
Beer 52, B-E-E-R, 52.com, 52 the number
/Lovejoy,
if you would like to get involved, and you could try this one too. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, you're just a dimwit though.
The one we tried on last week's was the cookies and cream stout, and that was really good. This one, I'm just not, I know what you mean about refreshing. Could you put ice in that? Do you remember when they did it with the cider for years? You had ice in the ciders.
I don't mind that so much. I don't mind with beer. I think
it was a good dream, wasn't it?
It whacks it all out of, like,
yeah, waters it down, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it kind of makes it. Yeah. All right. Let's give it. You were the high 8s or 9s out of 10 on that, then, do you think?
I'm giving that. Okay, this is compared to everything else we've tried, and especially compared to last week's. That's a 7.5 to 8.
Right. Okay.
The last one was a 9. I was blown away by that.
I quite like the taste, but I don't. Yeah. I think at the end of it, I wouldn't go, I'm not having another one of those. Anyway. Let's get on to our final email and then we'll do some other stuff. Hi Tim, maybe a bit premature message as I'm only 2 episodes from January this year, but I'm someone who hasn't been told I have mental health issues, i.e. depression, but feeling crippled some days to the point that I can't get up or anxious to get out of the flat and blend with society.
Then you need to go and see someone, definitely.
Yeah, I feel comfort listening to your thoughts and topics as it's making me think from a new angle. I didn't know that I had anxiety until I read... I knew I had depression, but I didn't realise I had anxiety until I read Matthew Haig's book called... I think it's called How to Stay Alive. He described anxiety. He's a good writer, and he described anxiety in there. And I went, oh, that's what I have. But I didn't realise that that's what it was. But, you know, the idea that you...
And there's a spectrum of anxiety, and you can be very low down on it but still suffer from it, or you can have it that it cripples you and you can't get out of a day.
When you say you get to the point that you can't get up, that is, I've been there.
If it affects your life in any way, that's anxiety, and you should go and see someone.
Yeah, it's horrific. It's terrible when you get to that stage. Anyway, I feel comfort listening to your thoughts and topics as it's making me think from a new angle. Well, that's really good. I look forward to catching up with your podcast and just wanted to say thank you for speaking your mind. Well, I'm glad I do that if it's helping. ARM has been a brilliant acronym for me, and I learned from you and use it every day now. So ARM is, it's nearly an acronym.
It's just more like ARMO.
It doesn't quite work, but it's A for ARM is accept the situation. R is responsibility. Take responsibility for where you are. It's your fault. Don't blame anyone else. You've got one life. You're in control of it. Do something about how you see yourself and where you are. And M is move on. ARM, accept, take responsibility, move on. That is basically how I live my life. And it happens now. In Britain, if you're listening to this in Britain, it's pretty much easy to do that. You are quite free. So take ARM as a great way to get through life and everything that happens to you. Anyway, enough of the sob story. Just wanted to say cheers, being a fan since Soccer M days, and something for the weekend. My thought processes on depression keep changing constantly. I do like to say, though, which annoys people, I think, at the moment, I don't feel that I'm suffering from depression. I think depression is something you get, and I think it's something that I've had, and I have, but I don't think it's suffering. I think it's a way of me learning that my life is broken, and I keep working on this theory, and I keep with the way that I frame it, it means that I'm in control of it a little bit more, and I do think there's things I can do to relieve the symptoms when I get them, but I'm not saying that there are people out there who have chemical imbalances, and then they probably need a lot more help and a lot more medication. I still see therapists constantly to try and talk through stuff in my life, and I'm not ashamed of it. Helps me a lot. And then I spend a lot of time reading about why I feel this way. I wanted to investigate it. I look at the science of it, and I also read people who can help me with coping strategies. But my coping strategy, as I say, is just simple, that one arm. It just works for me a lot. And so I love it constantly. It's just stuck in the back of my mind. Every single little thing that happens, rather than get down, I go, well, I just need to accept it, don't I? So recently I've had some people in my house who've stolen a load of stuff. And the chances of me getting it back are so remote. They're nothing. Well, I know they're nothing. And no one's owning up to it. And there's literally nothing I can do. So I've got to just accept it, take responsibility for I'm the one who let them into my house. Now I need to move on. I need to learn my lesson from it.
I'm sorry, Tim.
It wasn't Mark. I trust Mark implicitly. Okay, so do you want to hear some life hacks? Some pearls of wisdoms? Stuff they didn't teach you at school? Cue the jingle,
no,
Mark.
No, we're not cueing the flipping jingle. That jingle has died. That jingle is in podcast heaven. It's been sent to the podcast farm.
Boo. I really think we should put the jingle back in, Mark. I miss the jingle.
It's not happening, Tim.
It's an old friend. I miss it.
It's rubbish.
That's what they do with the EastEnders theme tune.
Well, right? They bring it back because they changed it at some point, didn't they?
They changed the Match of the Day theme tune. Everyone didn't like it, and they said bring it back. Do you remember they updated it once many moons ago?
They did that the same with the EastEnders one, and they made it too jazzy, really? And everyone complained, and they changed it back.
What happens is sometimes they must sit there in a meeting and go, what do we think of this theme tune now? Should we get rid of it? And then... But the public like it, Mark. They know where they're at with our theme tunes. It's our jingles.
Okay, well, good for them. They can go back and listen to the
Why can't you put it back in?
Because I hate it.
Yeah, but what's it got to do with you? Apart from it being yours, what's it got to do with you?
It's under copyright, Tim.
boo you. All right, so there's three words which have been generated randomly, and I have to go into my huge brain and work out fantastic pieces of advice from them, lessons that we can learn.
It's definitely my favourite bit of the podcast.
So there's just three words here. I don't know what they are, but the first one came up, which is an interesting one, which is lucky. So my pearl of wisdom from this is there is no such thing as luck. There's just stuff happening. Shall I repeat that? Lucky. There is no such thing as luck. There is just stuff happening.
How long did that take you?
I was trying to think of all those amazing, like, wonderful quotes about luck. Like, there is one I like, which is...
That's going to be one of those quote websites. You know, they have Martin Luther King and, you know, Rosa Parks. And there's going to be Tim Lovejoy. There's no such thing as luck. There's just stuff happening.
Well, there's that one that I used to have, which is luck is where preparation meets opportunity.
That wasn't yours, though.
No, that's the one that I used to live my life by. And then I realised that, it's just stuff happening. Stuff happens. It's random. I think you can make sense of the world if you just realise everything's a bit random. So, you know, one day you could wake up and you've won the lottery. It's not lucky. It just randomly chose you. The next day you could wake up and, you know,
You want to say something depressing here, don't you?
I'm trying to think of
the least offensive, depressing thing to say.
You could wake up one day and then you walk into the person that you love more, the love of your life, and that's not lucky either. It's just randomness. Everything's just random, and I think you need to get out the mindset of thinking things are lucky. Just got to keep going and realise, oh, something's happened. Oh, look, something's happened. I've won the lottery. Oh, look, something's happened. I've got a job promotion. Oh, look, something's happened. And just keep going. See, I worry about the lottery. I'm still playing it. Are you still playing the lottery, Mark?
I've never, ever played the lottery.
Why is that, pray tell?
I just... Because, Tim, I'm so unlucky, I'd never win.
Idiot. Get out of that mindset, you idiot. Go on, you think the odds are against you massively.
Yeah, I'd never. Yeah, so but,
I don't know why
but
I do it.
But they're more against me.
Do you think you're an unlucky person?
Yeah, I am.
And you can ask
a few of my friends who laugh and go, the stuff that happens to you. I've got a theory that
your friend, and I don't think that. I think you're lucky.
I think life isn't the length of time you live. I think it's the force pushing against you.
Oh God!
Like
it's like
a 3D gravity, and it's pushing. That's why people go, oh, that's life. That's where that phrase comes from. I think it's the stuff stopping you do stuff, and you're trying
Nothing
to fight
stopping
against,
you from doing
no,
anything.
No, but you're just trying to fight against it.
There's just stuff happening. And it's how you deal with the stuff happening.
Yeah, exactly. That's life.
Yeah, so you just accept it. Whether if you win the lottery, it doesn't necessarily mean you're having a good time. It doesn't necessarily mean you've
won. I reckon I'd have a great time if I won the lottery.
So you think life is just pushing against it. See, the thing about life I've always thought, and I keep thinking about this all the time when people go, oh God, I'm 41, I'm so old. I'm 51 actually, but oh, I'm 51, I'm so old. Or my mates at the moment, a lot of them are going, God, we're so old. It's sort of irrelevant, right? How I've got to the age where people are dying around me, right?
Yeah.
Friends and young people. I mean, you know, it's well documented as people know that my brother died at 37. So it's, you know, but I've got a lot of people now die of just, I don't know, things like heart attacks and stuff. They just go to bed at night and don't wake up and things like that. And there's a lot of people getting cancer around me and things like that. And it's not how long you've actually lived for. It's how long you've got left to live. If I could find out a way to tell you how long you've got left to live, that's where the money's at, Mark. I just don't know how to create that machine to do that. But that is the reality of life. It's not how old you are, it's how long you've got left. So you've got to assume that, well, what do you do? Do you assume you've got 50 years left or do you assume you've got 1 year left or a week left? How do you live your life?
I've never thought about it.
Just think about it now.
Get on with it.
Yeah, that's it. And that's exactly how to live your life because there's just stuff happening.
Wow, I padded that out.
Greet is the next word.
Greet.
Greet. Remember, first impressions count. Fake it. Stand up tall, look people in the eye, firm handshake, but don't do one of those macho bullshit ones. Most importantly, smile. Smiles.
I like that when anytime you meet someone, you're smiling, you're faking it, and you're actually quite miserable. That's what you're saying.
Smiles are the greatest weapons known to mankind. Well, that and nuclear weapons, but smile. It's a great weapon, the smile. It's very hard for someone to be angry with you if you're smiling at them. So, yeah, I do think this. I think I watch a lot of people. I'm looking at my daughters at the moment. I've become one of those annoying dads. Shoulders back, come on. Stand upright. Make an impression. And I do believe
you're making them walk around with books on their head.
No, I should.
Like a Swiss finishing school.
I text my daughter every now and then and go, shoulders back. And she texts me going, how did you know? Because their shoulders go, they're teenagers. So
yeah.
Teenagers take that like...
Round.
So, yeah, they go round and the whole world's on top of them and they've got to work through their mess and their stuff and everything else. Actually, my last word is on one of my daughters. But anyway, it's the greeting thing. And I listened to a talk the other day because I watch and listen to far too much stuff. That if you fake something for long enough, you actually turn into it.
Oh, that's no, that's not.
You faked that you were lucky.
That's not true. Mm. No. That's like that mental book about if you want something hard enough.
Secret. Yeah, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
But if you have you seen my TV career, Mark? So I went on TV 23 years ago.
I tried to avoid it actually. But you bring it up every podcast.
I'm still pinching myself. I still can't believe I'm still on. 23 years ago, I wandered onto TV and I went, let's just pretend I can do this stuff. 23
That's
years
slightly
later,
different from pretending that you're a Russian millionaire.
I am faking it. 23 years later, I'm still going, yeah, I'm
the
a
viewers can see through it, Tim.
Let's just hope the commissioners don't. No, but so
you've got pictures of something of the commissioners doing something. That's how you are.
Sure have. I'm like Trump, I've got Russian intervention. No, so what it is you what it is, right? You go into life. And
no.
Right, you've got...
No,
let's just talk about... Let's not talk about everything faking, right? Let's park that, even though I think it could be
so
true.
You're,
let's just talk about the greeting, because that's the word.
If you pretend you're a nuclear physicist for long enough, you'll become one.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
So
let's just talk about the... Let's go back to the word greet. All right, we're going to meet someone. We're meeting... who's important in the world? Oh, I don't know. Who should we meet? I was going to... Like, politicians are so hard because you don't really want to meet any of them, do you, at the moment? Okay, you're meeting the...
The winner of last year's Bake Off.
All right, you're meeting Barack Obama, let's say. And you think, well, Barack Obama's quite important in the world, isn't he? And then you go up and you've got to...
You still have to call him Mr. President.
Shake his hand, do you?
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't have to do that at all. You can
fake.
I mean, we don't. You can do whatever you want, Mark. That's life.
Yeah, but someone will pop up in some sunglasses and shoot you.
Maybe, but yeah. But when you go and you think, oh, I'm a bit intimidated here. There's a lot of people around. Or say the Queen. All right, you're going to meet the Queen. There's a lot of people around here. Now you've got two choices with the Queen. You either do the protocol, or you can just stand up straight and give her a handshake.
What?
Right, you can do the bow and just give a handshake. Now, I understand the Queen doesn't like to shake people's hands, and I understand that because she has to do it so often. Let's get rid of the Queen as an example here. Barack Obama, you're going to go and shake hands with Barack Obama. Shoulders back, stand up straight, in the eye, literally 10 seconds. That's all you've got to fake it for. But that impression means he goes, oh, this person can deal with me. Don't do the not. Yeah, have you ever... Wow, one of my ex-girlfriends used to have one. Her dad used to have one of those handshakes where you turn the hand over. Do you know that one? Where the old 80s thing of trying to get control, turn the...
Oh, okay,
It didn't work at all, because he shook hands with a load of my mates one day and they were went, what sort of handshake is that? The limp handshake's terrible, isn't
it? Yeah, there's a happy medium. And it's a medium.
Yeah. And what and these days, how are you greeting, you know, you go up to a woman and you're being introduced. I always do nice firm handshake. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, isn't it? Some people just launch straight in with a kiss. I find it really strange if I don't know them.
So sometimes it's a handshake to begin with, and at the end of the evening it's a, you know, or the end of the meeting or something, it might be a kiss. Or
it's,
you know,
it's confusing,
like
isn't it?
An
now?
Air kiss.
It's confusing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I try and just...
I never initiate that, though.
No. I shake hands. I generally shake hands with everyone now. It's just safer. And then my friends, as we've got into before on this podcast, want to do the stupid man hug thing, which is quite confusing, I think.
It doesn't bother me. There's a few friends that I hug.
Who? You don't hug me.
Because you specifically don't like it, and you've said so.
Don't like it. Right.
So then I wouldn't do it to you.
Anyway, you can fake it. And all I'm telling you this, and this is the truth, just for 30 seconds of your life, a minute of your life, just grit your teeth, smile, and just make sure you don't give a bad impression when you greet someone, because it means something, especially when you go into an interview or something like that, or you're meeting somebody. Just shoulders back, stand up high, go, I can just do this for 30 seconds. And that sounds bizarre, because you're quite a confident chap, Mark. An unlucky chap, confident nonetheless. But some people struggle with it.
What I love about these is that you clearly start off with the best one that you think's the best, and they get weaker as they go along.
No way.
I always look forward to number three.
No way.
Because it's the absolute...
No, number three is brilliant, because number three came up with the word keys.
Keys, okay.
And I'm thinking computer keys, and then I went, no, actually, I've got a very good story to tell you here.
Okay.
Great metaphor for life. So the other day, my daughter was upstairs, and I came down, and I left. And as you do, because you're just a creature of habit, I bolted the door, you know, like
yep.
a chub lot, what would you call it?
Double, yeah.
Bolted the door. So she came down a while later. I was already on the tube going somewhere, but fortunately I was still on the overground bit of it, so the phone rang and I answered it, and she said, "I'm locked in the house, you've locked me in." She said, "I don't have any door keys." And I said to her, "Oh no, I'm terribly sorry, I'm on the tube." And she said, "But that is not right, it needs to change." And I went, "But I can't change it, I'm on the tube." And she goes, "But you've locked me in." I said, "I understand that I've locked you in, but you're now locked in. We need to work out what to do." And she goes, "I don't want to work out what to do. I don't want to be locked into the house." So I start laughing because this conversation goes, she goes, "You need to come here now and unlock it." And I went, "But I'm on the tube and I can't get off the tube at the moment because I'm on the tube." And she's like, "But I don't care whether you're on tube. I'm locked in the house." Yeah, you can tell me so many times that you're locked in the house, but rather than squealing, I mean, I'm sort of pretending that she was talking to me in this lovely manner,
yeah.
and not actually screaming at me down the phone, "You need to get back in. I'm locked in the house. I'm going to be late." And I said, "I think you could be late, yeah. But all we could do is we could work out how you get out of the house." I said, "Why don't you go and get the spare keys and unlock it?" "Because I don't want to look for keys. I shouldn't be locked in the house."
She doesn't want to look for keys.
Yeah, because she didn't want to be locked in the house, Mark. She wanted to be able to leave the house and not be locked in.
I could think of, just knowing your house, there's at least two or three answers to getting out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But she could have just walked into the kitchen and got the spare set of keys, and then just, you know, it's not far, and then she could just let
us... So what was her beef? Because she was just annoyed at you?
Well, this is interesting, Mark. It was a metaphor for life.
Wow, I love how you've...
And I text her afterwards telling her it was a lovely metaphor for life. It went down really well.
I bet it did. But was that while she was looking for the keys?
What happened, Mark, was... No, she found the keys,
right.
And then unlocked it, and then shouted at me, and then went to work, and I must have taken all of... maybe 2 minutes or three minutes, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the great metaphor for life, is it that she would refuse to accept the situation.
Are we back on arm again?
Yes. We've moved straight back to arm. She forgot to... She refused to accept the situation. She wanted the situation to change. Situations don't change. You have to accept situations and then work out what you're going to do from there on. And that's a very interesting...
Accept. Responsibility and remember your keys.
Remember your keys. And I thought that's a great metaphor for life. And as I say, I texted her that was a great metaphor for life, that she wanted the situation to change, and yet actually the situation there, she had to accept it and then work out where she goes from there. That went down terribly, it must be said.
I bet it did.
But you know, there's a great... So the next time you're in one of those weird old situations, just think of Tim's daughter. Think, do you remember when Tim's daughter was locked in the house? And rather than actually go and look for the keys, and isn't it brilliant that it was a key? Because she had the ability to get the key to open the door to her life. I could be... do you know what? If I was religious, that would be just such a great sermon.
A sermon on a Sunday.
Oh, man, how good would be?
I think in a way, we provide a sermon every week, you know. You can spend your week recording, or you can spend a couple of hours recording a thing, and you know, people can spend a couple of hours, you know, an hour listening to a thing, and actually it was completely pointless.
Yeah. Anyway, the other bit of that story, the bit that I didn't go into, was the fact that I did say to her, "Where are your keys, by the way?" And she said, "Oh, I lost them." And I'm like, "Where'd you lose them?"
So she's put herself in the situation.
So she needed to take responsibility.
Okay, there we go.
And that's the R of the arm. See, it all comes together.
Without wishing to bring up the old joke, thank you, Reverend Tim Lovejoy.
Yes, Reverend Timothy Lovejoy.
Yes.
Yeah. That's it for this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I hope we've given you food for thought, if nothing else.
Or just made a bus journey a little bit less silent.
Yeah.
That's the best we can hope for.
Yeah. If you want to contact us, you can. DearLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. We love all your messages, especially if you've got any problems, especially if you're in misery at the moment. That's what we really want to hear, so we can share your misery with our listeners and find solutions for you. We'd like some... Let's branch out away from just mental health as well. I don't mind doing that, but let's do some... Let's do some relationship stuff. We always like that. Business. We like talking about business. If you've got problems with your bosses or stuff like that, or just friends and family. Anything you've got which you think would be interesting. Maybe fashion tips. I could help you there. Don't you say that. I can. I can give you some ideas on fashion if you
just,
like.
Just so you know, Tim is sat next to, opposite me in his gym kit. So, yeah.
Yes, I am. There's a reason for that. Let's not go into that. We could talk about arm again if we do. Yeah. DearLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com, @TimLovejoy if you want to drop me a tweet, or I think I'm @OfficialTimLovejoy on Instagram. I use that a lot. People contacted me on there as well if you want to do that. Anyway, that's it for us for the time being. Peace and love, Joy.
Bye.